While interning in South Africa for a nonprofit law firm that fights for refugee rights, I was struck by the phenomenon of displaced people and the xenophobia that propagates it. The theme of displacement is a universal one and speaks to what it means to be human, which is why I have centered this service around this very theme. The presence of xenophobia is a disease unto society, as it not only culminates in violence, but systematically transgresses upon the rights of foreigners, and also alienates them on countless intrinsic social levels, and so pervasively influences society as a whole. Its very existence illuminates a weakness in the interrelationships upon which society is founded. This is a country that seeks to define itself not through its history of violence, but by its ability to struggle for and ultimately uphold human rights in spite of these obstacles. So while South Africa has been said to have a culture of violence, violence being a product of fear on a societal level, it is important to reconsider this in a spirit of idealism as being potentially a culture of courage, where this fear is confronted and resolved. Any country has the capacity to turn towards violence, just as any person might. In a time of mass disenfranchisement, where few feel able to make a difference or contribute to a more hopeful vision, I think it's important to remember the stability that we can achieve through cooperation and a common dream of the human psyche and all its glorious possibility. Mass shootings, systematized police biases, blatant xenophobia and hatred of immigrants are American parallels to the xenophobia I witnessed in South Africa, and that all of these phenomena stem from a vulnerability in the bonds that tie us together as beings and through which our human strength and kindness may still yet flow. In South Africa, I came face to face with the real experience of refugees, and I attempted in a small way to give refuge. It's my hope that my experience will serve this community as it considers its role in giving refuge. Perhaps some of what I learned will be of use to you. At the very least, I hope you leave today with a better understanding of the need to welcome strangers, those who are for any reason no longer at home, wherever you meet them. My work with the refugees was a realization of the realness of politics, the politics of the human being, the individual through which xenophobia becomes more than an idea. All this talk and thought doesn't mean much but for them, the people I met. So let me tell you about what I learned from my small experiences in meeting them. It's Monday. You're three floors below and four streets away, one across and to the left. The woman is crying. You tell her, please don't cry. She's got a lovely face, pretty eyes, tight little universes inside. You realize you said nothing. You're just watching her. The best thing to say sometimes is there anything more you'd like to say? Because then the refugees have a chance to speak. But more than that, they have someone sitting quietly who will listen. And nowhere in any part of the world is that a small gift to be truly heard. One feels heard through the process of hearing others, that is. I felt heard just in that I was giving voice to others, just as one's light may be felt when it shines upon others, as inside oneself. So I listen. But afterwards, I admit I'm frantic, the persecuted, the assaulted, the escaped, and the wanted. I am desperate to assure them of some status in a somewhat stable democratic country. I am so desperate to assure them of things I cannot promise rapidly. So I appeal to all legality, and then I try my hardest to write them the letters, begging asylum, because when they thank me in whatever language, I ought to meet their eyes, wherein lies an undying kind of vast human dignity. And this is not even my work yet. The truth gets farther. My supervisor is interested in xenophobia, which is phantasmal, an invisible force that seems to pull society every which way, a silent demon at its seams. But not really, no. It's more of a quiet voice in every human mind, playing upon our individual fears so singularly placed inside. Until relationships morph and shift, the whole thing tectonic, and the dynamics of societal interrelationships are entirely different. Until fear shatters these, and we shake apart, and there's a man with a knife, and there is the government standing outside looking away, as, and here's the refugee again, man or woman, someone shipwrecked from nation, and just landing, and oh, they all say this, looking for a safe place. Like the woman who wandered for 9 days straight through the wild African forest after being raped by rebel men, just looking for a safe, and the gay man who was persecuted everywhere he went in his homophobic country, just looking for, and the woman whose government was bent on erasing her life to gratify some twisted need for power. Safe place. What an idea of a safe place. That a stable democracy. And these words carry more weight when unused to, when they are a brief but undocumented dream. Sorry, I meant unattainable dream. And then to arrive at a place and for it to be safe, except that there is a silent demon of xenophobia. But sorry, this is no demon. It is inextricable from the sweet vitality of humanness, its rotted gracelessness tied in thick to gracefulness, to the divine ingenuity of every human mind, merely rooted and grown in fear, flowering hatred, eventually spawning violence. To arrive in a safe place and find it not safe, this is far away. It is far away from the word justice, though justice may be another false dream, and far from this one brief human dream. Still, one might dream. One might, at least for the sake of compassion, seek to make things in the stable democracy more opposed to the stealthy, unwritten habits of the xenophobe, though not right, closer to the sleeping heart of this human thought. Justice, closer indeed to instilling this safe place, or love for the refugees, for those in need. My work with the refugees was direct, and in its directness, I experienced individual people that I couldn't and wouldn't ignore. It's different to meet with a person rather than an idea like refugee. Meeting with a person has the power to change us. Let me tell you about one of these experiences. I am sitting in a room with a man. He can speak multiple African languages. He can speak French. I can only speak English. His brother is here. His brother smiles often when he is upset and trying to figure out what to do. His brother is smiling a lot right now. I am still trying to figure out if they are really brothers. When his brother speaks to us in English, he sits in silence. His brother is translating for him. There is a wonderful geography to the man's face. Cheekbones, vertiginous, lips fixed, eyes rimmed red and low. He is so quiet, even in movement, and so devastatingly present, like I can feel the presence of his mind. Later, we will ask him if he wants trauma counseling. Later, that is, when we have finished asking him the usual litany of questions. These like, tell me your life story, and what legal assistance do you require? On the intake form, beneath the question, what do you need help with? He is scribbled in all caps, to save my life. He is a refugee. He wants refuge in South Africa. Like the bear beating human heart seeks refuge on this great African continent in the wider earth, and something about how we are all seeking refuge on this strange planet. And that refuge is in the heart which beats on. After him, there is a woman wearing a full headscarf. There is a man in a purple shirt glowingly telling us of his three children, but this as if only an afterthought. We are trying to ensure his status. A man throws his head back, scars on his neck. My whole wife's family, he says, they are dead. Another man. I was a political activist, he tells us. The government wanted to kill me. So I rented a boat, crossed the river, escaped the country. My son, he is disabled. They won't let him have an education. I was deported. They destroyed my shop, sent me back. I came back to South Africa a month later in the back of a truck. I am gay. They threw stones at me, beat me up whenever they saw me. I was afraid. And now I am here. How long have you been in South Africa? 13 years. 20 days. How long was I in South Africa? A week, maybe. I'm a rising sophomore in college, probably a global and international studies major, and I went to South Africa so I could intern with an organization called Lawyers for Human Rights because I wanted to help someone somewhere. I was given an opportunity to fly to another part of the world, and it was pretty infinitely fulfilling. If only because of the people, because of the people seeking refuge. And aren't we all seeking refuge? Aren't we all refugees passing through this earth? Here's a small poem about a little refuge that is the soul. This is about an island in Richmond, Virginia, actually, that is kind of like my home, I guess, spiritually. So it seemed appropriate in terms of like the concept of home and refuge. So it's called Belle Isle Mythologies. At the end of the path is a little white house. In the morning, the world is still there and the sun risen. The moon was the one who went missing. We tried forgetting ourselves, but nothing was working. The body only was. In brief, too. In the center of the isle is the heart. The heart was a quarry broken up the earth to build something new, long ago. No one can remember what was created. The quarry filled in water, a bottomless slate to reflect a cosmic sky. Someone named it the soul, and then ran away into a great unknown. The soul had always, from this very start, been surrendered.
Thank you, Elena.